Have you seen Ford versus Ferrari yet?
No, still no.
Still, okay, you have to see it. You got to see it.
I'm going to see it.
But I was thinking about it because you know Christian Bale, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know him, but I know who he is.
Batman. He's Batman.
He is, but and you keep reading these stories about him gaining weight and then losing like 400 pounds and then gaining 500 pounds to be Batman. Like if you look at his transition, it's insane.
Okay. Have you seen the pictures? No.
The amount of weight he gained from, what was that one where he played the super skinny dude? He was like 128 pounds or something. Really? Like he was really not doing well. And then had to put on like 100 pounds of muscle to be Batman in 9 months.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Yeah. All that aside. And then he lost a bunch of weight and then had to gain like 150 pounds of fat to play Dick Cheney.
Okay.
How do you feel if you're Dick Cheney? Like the story is always, oh my God, you see what Christian Bale's doing. How about if you're the guy who he has to put on 150 pounds of ugly fat to be?
Right. Yeah, that's harsh.
I can't believe I'm worried about what Dick Cheney feels. Maybe I don't care. Maybe I don't really care what Dick Cheney thinks.
No, I don't think you do.
I wonder if he's still a listener. Sorry, Dick. I didn't mean to be a jerk. Hello and welcome to episode 470 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
In 2020.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. I never thought about it.
Because why would you? Why would you care now?
Yeah, it's kind of a cool number though, 2020.
Oh no, that part I get 2020, but what do you say? It's like last year when I would, you know, say, come on guys, it's 2019, get with it, you know, for whatever. Doesn't sound the same now. Come on, it's 2020. It's like you're like an ABC news show.
Right, yeah. But it does look cool. Like as a number that you put on a calendar, it looks cool.
It's the year of acceptable vision.
Okay.
That's a 2020. Like, oh, 2020 vision. That's average. That's normal.
Oh, is that only average? I thought that was good.
No. If it's the baseline.
Okay.
How that works.
I'm not there.
You don't have good? You wear glasses.
Yeah. That's how I get good vision. If I didn't, right, I would have very poor vision.
So how that works is what 2020 means is what the average person can see at 20 feet, you can see at 20 feet.
Mm,
and that's what 2020 means. Yeah, you'd think it would mean in each eye or something like that. But typically, you'll take like a fighter pilot, like Chuck Yeager, the best fighter pilot. I don't know what his actual vision was, but he probably had something stupid. He's an extreme. Like that guy was an extreme. He probably had something like 80-20 or something like that, where he would see at 80 feet what a normal person would see at 20.
Okay.
Now somebody Google Chuck Yeager vision, and it'll be like higher. It'll be like 120 to 20 or something like that, just to prove me wrong. I don't know. 80-20 sounds pretty good, though.
Yeah, I agree. All right. It sounds cool. Hey, are we going to address the elephant in the room about our last week's podcast?
I do have notes here, yes, to address that.
Okay, because I'm still feeling a little bit skittish about what happened.
Like you're worried that they're going to take the podcast keys away from us?
I think they already did.
That was, yeah. I intended, I was hoping that we would end the decade with a real home run of a show. Like just boom, just one hit, one deep, deep, deep into the upper deck,
and then just walk off.
Yeah,
just walk off into the sunset.
We definitely had an upper decker, that's for sure.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna do better. Hey, the good news is to the listeners is that we're recording this in my morning and your afternoon, and that seems to be a magical combination.
It's also a reasonable morning for you, because the last time we did that, like, it was my morning, but the way the time difference works, the plus nine,
yeah,
is if we do it in my morning, I have to do it at a really early hour in order to make sure you're still awake.
Right, and I was barely awake, and you were barely awake, and that's
yeah, because it was like
color.
It was I feel like it was a five. We started before 6 a.m. my time.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, because we the plan was to start at 6, but I got up a little bit early, and so we started early. So yeah, the 5 something in the morning, that was not good at all. It was so bad. It was such a horrible show that I was considering airing a rerun.
Oh, wow. That would have been exciting.
Yeah. But then at the end, I'm like, you know what? I want to be a big man, and it takes a big man to own your mistakes. So we aired it.
Perfect. And I'm sure everybody listened to the whole thing.
I think people probably did, just to see how much worse it would get. Well, I did announce it. I originally had a title for that episode, and it wasn't the title we used. I used after we recorded it, it became We Suck.
Right. What was it before that?
You Suck.
Okay. Adam Sucks.
Yeah. No, I forget what it was. It was something good. We definitely don't suck. That was probably the working title.
Okay.
And we went a different way. It's so bad that I don't know if you even noticed this. Like, you never see the album covers, but I did send this one to you. The two vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
It was so bad, I even changed the font to Comic Sans just to punish us.
I like that.
We were
Comic
so
Sans
bad.
Is my favorite. That's my favorite.
It's not your favorite, I hope.
No, I know.
It is everywhere here in Germany. I don't know why.
I said that to antagonize you.
Yeah, it's terrible. I saw it today where I was at the pool or something like that. I forget where I saw it today. Comic Sans. Like, what are we doing? There's other fonts. So there's that. Anyways,
right. I didn't mean to get you on a font tirade. So.
No, it takes us off of the horrible, horrible show from last week.
Right. Okay. So we're gonna do better. That's the goal in 2020. To all of our shows be better than last week.
Oh well, that's
just
pretty low.
Barely, marginally better.
Yeah. That's great. It would have been better if we both forgot to hit record.
Right. Yeah.
That would have been better. How you doing with the Christmas weight?
I could stand to lose a few.
I always meant to ask you, not always meant to, but I thought of it today. Are you a Christmas weight guy?
I might eat way too much baking and chocolate and like just crappy food that's around. I don't usually indulge as much as I did this year. So yes, I've had to take a good long self-reflective time to say, okay, it has all stopped, but yes, and not that I'm one for New Year's resolutions. I was making some bad life decisions in the last 2 weeks, and so I'm just going to put myself back on track. Yes. So
yeah.
And last night we had friends over, and again the baking came over and everything, and I did not indulge. I just said no. I said no.
And I see, that is 100% me. This year, not so much. This year, I did not gain. I gained like negligible weight, like 1 or 2 pounds, really, like nothing. Nothing like last year was off the charts. Last year I started a little bit early. I started a little bit earlier in December and started eating the baking. It's the baking that gets you, by the way.
Yeah, it's the baking. I agree.
And for me, it's the one cookie they sell here called Speculatius. Did we talk about this in the show? I forget. It's like this German gingerbread cookie.
Yeah.
It is the greatest thing of all time. Like you would just break it up and pour milk on it, and that'd be your breakfast cereal. And it's phenomenal. Except not really very good for you.
Right.
And so they only sell them at Christmas time, starting September 1st. I'm not joking. It's every year they come up. They show up in the store on September 1st, and I'm like, it's still sunny out and warm, and so it's the kind of thing where I was like, okay, this year I'm not doing it, because last year in from sort of end of November until New Year's, I gained 20 pounds.
Wow,
20 pounds,
and yeah, so that's a lot. I probably put on, I'm going to say 8 to 10, but okay. I don't really weigh myself, so I don't know. I'm just in terms of what I feel. I feel lethargic.
Right.
And I feel like it's an 8 to 10. It's not more than that. I would suspect it's definitely more than 5, though.
Fair enough. That seems a lot. Yeah, as it
for,
is.
For
as
me,
is.
which I don't fluctuate a lot.
No, but you're a fit dude. I used to be,
and certainly that too wasn't as regimented over the holiday. So the combination of lots of cookies and baked goods and less trips to the gym equals 7 to 10 pounds.
Yes, fair enough.
I'm also pretty good at losing it, so I'll be all over that by the end of January. I'll be hopefully back to my fighting weight.
Well, you also have 4 beers a year.
Yeah, I don't drink a lot. Yeah. But I did drink. That was the other thing. I was drinking regularly. So a combination of all those things.
That's the rub. That's the rub. This is turning into a health podcast. But this year I said no speculatius until like a few days before Christmas. So like the first day of winter, 21st, 22nd, that's when I'll have my first speculatius, which I did. Had a couple and had very few this year. Maybe I had 8 cookies. And so kept it within a reasonable pound or two. Probably not even that. I probably water weight. So I'm probably back now already, back to what I was before.
Good for you.
No, it was. But I'm the same. I'm just saying it's the same as you. Is that I can't do a little bit. I can't just do. I'll have a little bit and then stop. No, I go mayhem or nothing. I can do nothing.
Yeah, me too. I have to. That's what I was trying to explain this to Sarah, who is. Like when I wasn't eating any of the treats in the last couple of days, and I said, I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. I can't just say, oh, you know what? I'm going to eat a little bit better. That doesn't mean anything to me.
No, there's no such thing as a little bit better. Yeah. No. So I'll expect next week, you'll have dropped that 5 pounds though.
I hope so.
For your own sake. I'm not, it's not about the pounds. It's about, you know, the health part of it. It's the feeling lethargic is the worst part. To me, yes. I hate that.
Like, I agree.
Oh man. So, anyways, so I personally am more than 20 pounds lighter than I was this time last year, and I like it better. Feels better. Of course, with that on New Year's Eve, we had my wife's brother and their family over, and so we made onion rings for dinner.
Nice. I like onion rings.
But they're not really a thing here in Germany. They don't like, I don't know that you can find them anywhere.
Okay. And
so we had borrowed, my wife had borrowed a pro deep fryer for something at her school. And so we still had it. And I said, oh, well, we're going to make, you know, homemade French fries and burgers. Because her brother, you know, they want burgers for dinner. It's kind of a big thing for Germans, right? It's not, I'm not a big thing, but it's not like, if you made burgers, it'd be like, all right, well, so what? We have burgers 5 days a week here at baseball, right?
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's not really, you know, you can get them, but anyways. So we made that, and I said, you know what? We're gonna try making homemade onion rings. Holy hell, were those the greatest things I've ever eaten. we have to give the deep fryer away now. Give it back. I can't keep doing this. Otherwise, that 20 pounds is coming back.
Right.
Onion rings, holy cow, are they the greatest?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll take them over French fries any day.
If you're going to buy a deep fryer, get it on Amazon. Click through our site and help us out. We appreciate it.
But don't get one.
Don't get one. No, they have one of these new, forget it. Let's get off that for a bit. Camera stuff.
Yeah.
40D seems to be dying again. I know.
Like this is the ninth going death. On like 7 years of death.
For it this is, camera. It is. But it's the shutter trigger, like the button. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and I like when it does. And I like to know that it's going to work. And so I'm like, oh, can I rely on this thing? I don't know. Update on the Mark III. I still haven't sent it in. As I told you, I needed it just before Christmas for a job, And then by the time I got around to getting it ready to ship, it was like the week before Christmas. And I thought, that can't be a smart idea to just like when everybody's shipping stuff all over the place to just throw my camera into that mix.
Mm-hmm.
So I will do that. I will send that out like probably by the time this airs, I will send it out. So that's not reliable yet. So that's not working. And the 5D Classic is starting to go haywire.
Oh no.
Yeah. So as I don't know how if it probably hasn't happened to you, but like you know how on the back you have that like the stupidest invention. I don't know what Canon was thinking. It has the on off switch, but then it's got like you got to go one further so that you can actually use the back wheel. You understand what I'm saying? Like it's the switch has got three settings to it: on, off, and back wheel.
Right.
Okay. I don't know why they did that. Just have on and off, and we can use the. Like, why would you not want to use the back wheel? I don't understand that at all.
Right. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Right. That I could tell by your silence. I was like, oh no, we're back to last week. So that's the thing. And so I would like it to just be on. So now, right now, in the situation that I'm in, so if you want to use manual. Like manual settings, which is pretty much all I do.
Yeah.
With that camera, you need the back wheel, right? So you have to set it to that setting, okay? Or if you're using it in AV mode, that back wheel then sets the exposure compensation over under.
Right.
So you always kind of need to use that back wheel. Okay. So. For whatever reason, the on-off switch, whenever I flick it to the back wheel's on setting, the camera just shuts down. So I can turn it to on and use it in auto, but that's it. I cannot use anything else. But it's intermittent, of course.
Right.
So I can't tell what's going on. So sometimes it works. And
how did you figure that out?
What do you mean?
That that on-off wheel thing was the only position it was working was. Like, doesn't it stay in that position? I'm still confused.
No, you can physically turn it. Like, I mean, you've probably never turned your camera off. I never turned mine off either.
Yeah, like, I don't think I ever have.
Yeah, but occasionally you can bump that little button. And also, I think it's different on the 6D. And so I was on the 5D Mark II and on the 40D, both my cameras that I started out with. They're all the same. And so I knew about that setting from the beginning and how stupid it was. And so I've always known about it. And so when I was having issues with it, my camera was dying. I was turning it off and on, and I would notice when it was in the middle position. The middle position is just on, and then all the way is the on and back wheel.
Right.
And I was noticing. So there's some sort of little short circuit, maybe. Maybe I got a little salt water in it in the summer, and it's just finally catching up. And so I don't know what. So my point is, I own three DSLRs, not one of them reliably functioning.
And the focus problems continue with the
intermittently. They're there. I can't rely on it. I can't take it out on anything and expect to get a in focus shot. Like I might, but you know.
So you use the Fuji a lot.
But using the Fuji a lot, I do use the Mark III in manual focus mode, like on the tripod if I'm going to shoot some studio stuff. I have been doing that, but I do want that to be fixed. I want to get that one fixed, but that also leaves me with probably no beater. Ooh. And we always talk about having a beater.
Right.
So maybe we talk about that next week. Let's save that for next week. I'll let you know what I'm considering. I'll let you know off the air. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week, about the beater.
Okay.
All right. Shoot anything interesting this week?
Did I have my camera out? Last time, I don't remember. I was half asleep when we podcasted last week, so I don't remember if I shared anything interesting last week. I don't think I've had my camera out. If it was, it was shooting some hockey photos, and that's about it. Oh, yeah, we won another tournament for hockey, my son's team. So I took the camera to that game and took a few pictures, and that was it. I don't know if that's interesting.
Which camera did you take?
What camera did I take? I actually took the Fuji. I took the Fuji and I never took it out. And then I took the 6D with, I want to say the 85 mil.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was just going to stand near the glass. And the way the rink was set up, there was only going to be one end that I could access for photos. So I thought, okay, well, I'm only going to be shooting what's within 40 feet of me anyways. I'll just take the 85, and that way I have the ability to go to 1.8 or 1.0 or 2.0 or whatever, just to allow enough light because of the speed of the movement. Mm-hmm. So that was my compromise, and I took it, and I might have taken 10 photos because I wanted to make sure it was a photo where, you know, the kid was coming at me, there was some action happening. So I probably took 10 photos, and of those 10 photos, most of them are good. I just didn't take many photos. And then when we won the tournament, I went on the ice, as I will do for these situations, and take like a group sort of photo with to get their medals and celebrating. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I think I switched lenses. I'm pretty sure I switched lenses to the 17 to 40 to take that group shot. So there you go. That was my something interesting.
All right. And I'm sure all the parents appreciated it though.
Yeah, they like it. And they like that someone just takes charge in that situation, rather than them trying to take a photo with their phone from either the side of the rink or through the glass.
You get those people do the little finger zoom too.
Yeah. So anyway, so this gives every, and then I just send it out to the team. So get a decent team photo.
Nice.
So that's it.
We also did some was skating related. We went skating on New Year's Eve day. And I just put the pictures into the Dropbox this second. So you gotta go have a look in there right now.
Okay. Live look.
Yeah. Yeah. Right there. Just snapped a couple. Took the 40D. That's where I was like, oh boy, like it's working sometimes. Great camera. The 40D with the 30 mil lens again, just take it out on the ice. No problems. You have a lot of control about how much light you can let in. Nice at this rink though. This rink in where we go has a like one of the walls is all roll up. I think I've talked about it before, but it's all roll up garage doors. And so almost always they have those up. So one side of the building is basically open, which kind of sucks when it's cold because, you know, when it's -8 or -9 outside, it's pretty cold in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do get a lot of great light coming in. So,
yeah, it looks good. And I'm familiar with it just because of pictures in the past that you've taken here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
So, yeah. So, my son, he's getting a little bit. There's one of me and my son together. I had to make sure to get one of those. And then with the big bathroom sign. WC means bathroom, water closet.
So okay.
That's always nice to have that in the background. But then there's one of my sons skating by himself there. And he's getting a little cocky now. He wants to kind of go skating with his friends to show them how good he is. And he's good. Like, he is really good. Except I have to tell him, like, hey, you're Germany good, okay?
Right, yeah.
If we go to Canada, you're in for a giant surprise, kid. You're not Canada good.
Right,
yeah. So,
it's like the German World Junior Hockey Team.
Yeah. Well, hey, they at least they showed up. The one thing I do like about this one, the one thing I do, I'm thrilled with my kid is he does listen to everything I say, which I'm sure will go away when he turns 7. But for now, whenever I tell him anything, he just does it immediately. Bend your knees, bam, down he gets down. And so this one, the reason I posted this one is you'll get it. You'll probably understand this. A lot of people, like the kid next to him, who I don't know, skate that way with their feet kind of too far apart.
Yeah.
And I keep telling him, get your toes under your nose, man. So when you stride with that, like that, in this case, the right foot going forward, make sure you get it balanced under your nose. And so he's working on that. So I was pretty proud of what he does there.
Okay. Now your next move is the arms. They got to be going in a straight line. Too much.
Been working on that for a while.
Okay. All right. Get those. Like, he's running. I don't think he runs with his arms swinging sideways.
Yeah,
like
he does. He's bad at running. He is really not good at running. Yeah. We've had this discussion where I explained to him. I'm like, no, don't do the side to side stuff. You're pulling the rope. It's like as if you're pulling yourself along the rope. That's what you want to do.
Okay. All right. As long as that feedback's been given, you should really get him to listen to you better.
Yes, we'll get there. He's never actually skated with a hockey stick though, so we'll see when that happens. You can't really do that with a hockey stick. You just be high sticking everybody.
You should get him to run with a hockey stick too.
Ooh, interesting. I'll see about that.
So, all right.
All right. Now I got to go find the rest of my notes. There they are. Okay, monthly challenge. That's at the top. Time for the topic already? Show's already over. We're doing the topic. This month is the this week. This month's challenge slash topic is the December monthly challenge. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers, or tag us, which a number of people did. And that's how we see you on the Instagram. This month is blue and orange, or I think it's called orange and teal now. I think that's the phrase that everyone's going. That's the catchphrase. Orange and teal.
I didn't know that.
Did you know? Speaking of that, catchphrases. Did you know that people aren't vegetarian or vegan anymore?
What are they?
Oh, they eat a plant-based diet.
Oh, okay.
It's plant-based.
I've heard that before. I didn't know that that was how people were referring to themselves.
Yeah, though. We're talking about plant-based.
Okay.
It's plant-based.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a plant-based podcast.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Anyways, so orange and teal, they're calling it orange and teal, which it probably is. Why is, like, this is a very popular sort of style. Why? What is popular about blue and orange? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Okay. You're going to tell me. Do you know what complementary colors are?
No. What else? Okay. They like each other.
They're very nice. Oh, they went nice to, in those
yeah.
jeans.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they went to a restaurant together, they would trade compliments.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I guess the idea being that a number of colors on the color wheel, the ones that are opposite each other on the color wheel, complement each other. Now, I'm not an expert on colors, obviously, because, you know, the color blindness part, and I don't know who decided that those colors get to be complementary. Is it science? Is it art? Like who knows? Is it opinion? I mean, to me, blue and orange do complement each other. I do happen to think that those, I agree with those ones. They're very okay. nice colors together for specific reasons. But for me, like, speaking of baked stuff, which we were, for me, I happen to like if cake or whatever, those baked things, are a little bit dry, because I enjoy eating them with coffee, which, P.S., is a little bit wet.
Mm-hmm.
And those complement each other, and they produce a wonderful result in your mouth.
Okay.
Also, if you add "in your mouth" to the end of most sentences, it really makes it creepy.
Yeah, and funny.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Hey, yes, you want to go grab a couple of beers in our mouth? What is that?
Yeah.
So go ahead and try that this week. Try adding in your mouth.
Yeah. Hey, honey, hand me those keys in your mouth.
That's just creepy. Yeah. Okay, try right. it this way. When you're at the dinner table and you just turn to your wife and say, "Hey, would you like more mashed potatoes in your mouth?" It's a game changer.
Yeah. No, it's something I've been doing for a while.
Okay. So why blue and orange? Like I said, there's a number of complementary colors. Blue and orange is the most popular. I think, this is 100% my thinking on this, is it's just you see it in life. You see, there's like the sort of that mix of warm and cool, orange being the warm, blue being cool. We associate that. We see it in everyday life. We have the sunlight is comes down, even though it's 5,500 Kelvin and lights, but it is sort of warm light, and then you see in shadows tend to be a little more blue and a little cooler. So we do see this, and for a lot of people, there is this sort of sense memory of being out in the cold where it's kind of blue, and coming inside your home where it's very orange and nice and warm. That's the general idea, and so it's a good feeling. Those colors tend to evoke that feeling in us. It's a very popular, some would say overpopular, method when it comes to doing the color grading on movies. You'll see blue and orange and teal everywhere. Like it's used an awful lot. I mean, I forget who was the first. It was like there's a movie called Network from the 70s that I guess it was big, and it was a big thing. It was big, used well in that. But ever since then, many directors choose to use it And I, just for an example, like one of my all-time favorite examples of this, and one of my favorite movies, which is somewhat controversial because people think I'm lying and they don't like the movie too much. There's a movie from 1998 called Out of Sight, starring...
George Clooney.
Clooney and Jennifer Lopez, who has not aged a day since then, oddly. And so directed by Steven Soderbergh. So he uses that. So Soderbergh uses the blue and the orange within scenes, but he also uses it in cutting from scene to scene, meaning like some of the movie is set in Detroit, and so it's a very blue color palette, and then some of it's set in Miami, and then it's a very orange color palette. So contrasting and complementing those two different places with those colors works very, very well. And there's a bunch of scenes like when they're in the jail at the beginning, and like they got that nice blue sky with the orange light, and it's an amazing example. And since then, I think everybody just copies it.
Right.
So much so that there's online tutorials that you can go on in on see on YouTube where you can manipulate, use something called split toning in Lightroom, for example, where you can manipulate the shadows to be on the more teal side, and you can have the highlights be to more on the orange side. That's after you've already shot it. Like you've shot a regular thing, your regular photo, you can manipulate it later.
Gotcha.
There you go. And then lastly, I've been looking at some of the new film, quote-unquote, film/video cameras coming out, and I think the Sigma, I think it's called the Sigma FP, I forget the name now, has like a little movie camera that they make. I think it has a built-in orange and teal setting to just shoot everything orange and teal as on the fly. So.
How does that work?
It's like a profile preset.
Oh, okay.
So gotcha. it does split toning on its own. So gotcha. So for the last little while, I have consciously been gelling my flashes to represent the orange and the teal.
Right.
Just slightly. Just slightly offsetting the key to be a little bit orange and the fill to be a little bit blue, so that maybe you don't necessarily notice it, but your eye kind of associates it with real life. And it's very subtle. I use it in a very subtle way, so as you don't notice anything, but there's nothing wrong with going over the top as well, as we're about to see in some of the submissions this month.
Right.
Okay. Let's start off, and really in no particular order. First off, JPEG 22.
I'm looking at it. Yes.
Would you classify this as a blue and orange photo?
Probably not at first glance, but I guess subtly it's there.
It is there. I the same thing. I felt the same. It's not an overwhelming example of that, but it does qualify. Assuming that's sand, right?
Yeah.
We're at the beach.
Yeah, we're at right. the beach here.
So I'm assuming that sand, is the sand orange or is that more of a brown?
Yeah, I don't know. It's for all intents and purposes, let's say it's orange-ish.
Yeah, okay. Then moving on to that, what do you think of the photo?
It's a bit abstract for my tastes. It's not what I would do as far as like slow motion shutter at the beach. I would probably like less blur. Like there's too much blur here. Like I get that we know we're at the beach, but this is again in that realm of very artsy, not my cup of tea. Not that it's wrong. Some people might really like this. It's just not for me.
Well, you're a coffee guy though.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a tea fan anyways.
I'm also a dog, not a cat guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good to know.
Those are my preferences. No, what's your take?
I when I first saw this, I wouldn't say underwhelmed, but I was just whelmed, you know, just right down broad. And then I saw it again, and when I was getting the show prepped, which we actually do, believe it or not, I liked it a lot more. I actually liked this a lot more than I probably should have or did the first time. I like the abstract part of it. There is a lot obscured, and yet you know where you are. And so I kind of appreciate the art in this one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Scott Borwee. This is Blue and Orange Fireplace Macro. Treated himself to a macro lens, and this was as close as he was willing to put it into his fireplace.
Yeah, that's probably a good call.
Yeah, but we get some nice tones here. With we do have the blue flame. It's a real blue flame special. That's what I call this one. No?
Yeah,
I get Point it. Break?
Just, yeah, it wasn't super
Point fun. Break? Come on, man.
Yeah.
And we're back to last week's Adam.
Nah, I like this photo, though. I have to say, again, and I'm not sure why, because it seems on the surface very simplistic, but there is definitely a few elements here that I find make it appealing to me anyways. The composition is kind of cool, and it's all just a little bit angled, which sometimes, I don't know, if you're shooting this as a portrait and your subject is the log, this is kind of a bit of a Dutch angle, right?
Yeah.
So, and it works. All the lines are basically kind of the perpendicular lines and vertical lines that all work on this bit of an angle. So, yeah, I really like it. It's not just about the log and the fire, but there's a few different elements here with the foreground, middle ground, background. You've got layers here that make it interesting. So not that it's the kind of photo that I would typically think to take myself, but I like it. Yeah, this is a good photo for up in the living room. Like if you don't want to have a fire, you have a picture of a fire.
Indeed. Never thought of that.
Yeah.
The I'm assuming it must have been shot raw and then highlights brought back down. Otherwise, I'm assuming that the flame would have just blown out more.
Probably, yeah.
That's my guess. All right, next up is Papasan Jr. It's from Cancun. In the moment I saw the bridge over the glass, the awesome pool, need to shoot it. Haven't posted in a while. Social media is soul-sucking. Not wrong. Yeah. The reflection on the bottom right is my baby girl, but unfortunately you can't see her face. Okay. Not sure how we see that. I mean, I'm not seeing the reflection of, I guess that's his wife there throwing their son in the pool. And then there's a reflection of the son, their son.
Yeah.
All in all, very cool. This is a very cool shot. I mean, he's standing over top with the glass over. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a bridge.
So he's on the bridge shooting down, like as a glass bridge?
I'm guessing, yeah. I'm guessing that's what it is.
Okay.
I don't know. Otherwise, you're up in some building shooting down, but he says bridge, right?
Yes. So,
yeah, no, I really like this. This is cool. Caught the perfect moment just where, you know, the kid's breaking the plane of the water and you got this cool splash. And then, you know, when you first look at it, you're like, what's going on here? Are there two kids being thrown at the same time? Because the reflection is very cool. And then clearly it is the same kid. But no, love it. And the blue and the orange here really works. This is a very cool photo. I like
Agreed.
It a lot.
Yeah. And I like photos that make you sort of like dive in. To use a pun, I actually didn't even mean that pun. But dive into it and kind of look and go, okay, what is going on here? And then you have to kind of figure it out. And is it Photoshop or is it shot live, which this obviously it is. So well done.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is David R. Wilkinson, who this was one I put together. This is one of those multiple images that you scroll across. And right. So like you know the method I invented a solid 5 years after it'd been out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also what remind me to talk off air, I got a thing, sliced bread. I don't know. It's gonna be big.
Okay.
Something else I've been noodling around with in the lab.
Okay.
All right. So this is a panorama. I know there's too much sky, but below. Oh, so this is five shots handheld stitched together. That's what's gone, and then he's made that into two images, which you scroll back and forth on the Instagram. I know there's too much sky, but below the trees are a bunch of distracting houses. Not too much sky. The right amount of sky.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this is a great example of the blue and orange. I really like when this happens with the sky, when you get the orange kind of doing the gradient into the blue like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all in all, no, this is a great use of the colors and a cool image. Great, perfect time of day.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we got Mike Roskopp, Magdeburger Dome, and seasonal greetings to all listeners and everyone else. It's an HDR with 5 exposures. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't click over and see the other one. You can find a correct exposure. It's the second image. So there you go. There's more to read, and I can't read it now.
So you wrecked it by just posting the one photo.
Well, I didn't want that much homework.
Right. No, I'm looking at it. The picture that I'm looking at is obviously the one that's
the HDR.
That everyone else is going to see. Yeah, and yeah, it looks really good. I like. I was thinking, wow, how'd they get the exposure? I didn't peg this as HDR, but I was thinking they pretty much nailed the perfect time to get, you know, the background exposure and the brightness of the lights. But now that I know that it's trickery, I don't like it.
Well, I'm wondering, no, it's not trickery at all. HDR is great in this situation.
Okay. All
right. Because, well, you didn't know it was HDR. You didn't look at this and go, yeah. Oh, that's HDR. You didn't
know. No, not at all. In fact, I just thought they got it.
Yeah, I thought maybe you take, if you get it at the exact right time of day, and then use the sliders. You oftentimes you have to still shoot raw and then use I'm a big fan of the shadow and the highlight sliders, and you could probably achieve this within one image if you get it at the exact right time of day, but that's hard to do. So great use of the blue and the orange, especially in the reflections on the cobblestones, and then contrasting with the blue sky. It's great use of blue and orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Next up is David Williams from Sydney, Australia. At least he was in Sydney. I'm assuming he's from Sydney. Long exposure. This is the hashtag I'm liking. Hashtag not Frank Pang.
Oh, wow.
Shots fired.
Frank, I hope you're going to stand up for yourself.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know if that's a bad thing. I don't know. I'm not sure why they're not Frank Pang. But I'm not sure what that
doesn't
even means.
Doesn't want to be associated with the panger.
I wanted to find out how many hashtags of that exist. Like how many photos are out there are hashtag with not Frank Pang. gotta be a lot.
Like 11. No, I was gonna say there's gotta be like 4.
Yes. So interesting shot. This is not an angle you ever see of the Sydney Opera House. It's a very well shot structure. In fact, I have not. Shot it. I have had it in the background when I was in Sydney, a solid coming up on 18 years ago now. The next month will be 18 years. I was there shooting. I have film and I'm probably shooting pictures of my girlfriend and I. And I do know there are some with her, some of her with it in the background, but it's all from the water. Like everybody else shoots it from the water. And so this is not that. This is really cool. Long exposure with the cars coming by, creating the orange. Nice blue sky. Great original shot of the Sydney Opera House.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. Really good.
All right. Next up, New York Heart All. Now, this is a model standing in front of a blue and orange wall, looks like to me.
Yes, that's. Okay. I would agree. Unless it's like the blue, could the blue be glass or is it just paint? I can't tell. But anyways, yeah, it's good. It's well done. I like the image and the Raptors are a good team. So
yes,
points for that. Number 10. Do you know who number 10 is? You probably don't. You're not a basketball person, are you?
Oh, I'm a big fan of Vinsanity though. That's Vince.
Yeah, he's 15. No, Vince is 15. That would be, well, he doesn't play for the Raptors anymore. He got traded. DeMar DeRozan was number 10.
Did not. I thought it was Pavel Bure.
Yeah, he played as well for 10, but not for that team.
Right. Also number 10 for a while, though.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so in terms of the blue and orange, again, they're complementing colors. So that's great. I like the way the shadow falls. Like I like the overall composition of this. I don't know that it needs to be blue and orange necessarily, but I do like where they decided to place the cut point. Sort of I'm not sure if it's exactly the rule of thirds, but it looks like about a third and two thirds, like a third blue, two thirds orange, and having the model stand in the middle of the orange. Everything is very well, well balanced here. So wow.
Do you think that, oh, sorry. Do you think that the key light is gelled?
Is the key light gelled? That's hard to say. She could have been, I think it's a she. Maybe it's a he taking the picture. For some reason, I thought it was, anyways. That's hard to say. It could be manipulated in post. What do you think?
I don't know. I just had that thought now as I look at it, because I'm like, oh. Because some of her skin tones, like on her stomach, are more orange than on her face. And then I thought, maybe there's some gelled light going on here. It's hard to tell for sure. Anyways. That was my thought, because then that would really make it a good use of the gel. Because if it's that subtle, and I think there very well could be gels here, then if it's that subtle, good job.
This looks like a one lighter. I'm not seeing a fill light anywhere. Are you?
No.
So typically, if you're gonna gel the light, then it doesn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't fall off like that. It wouldn't. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Forget that.
All right, next up is David Williams' arch nemesis. This is Frank Pang.
Is it really?
It's a spot you know well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is Pang.
Panger jumped in, man.
Wow, I actually like this. Pang, good job.
Yeah, this is good. This is way better than that Sydney one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think the other guy saw Frank Pang's photo and was like, oh, our photos are both of like these kind of monuments that they could be confused?
Like, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but just going by the dates that are posted, no.
Okay. All right. It's interesting though.
Yeah. This is definitely like, this came 11 days after the original. And so, I think they call it a clapback. Is that what they call it?
Sure.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to get all with the kids and the lingo, the plant-based clapback. These are the different things that they talk about on the internet now. Okay. This is a place that you know well. Like, this is Little Mountain, Little Mountain, isn't it?
Is that what it's called?
Or Queenie Park. Isn't Queenie Park Little Mountain?
Yeah, maybe. I think I wouldn't know it as that, but sure. I think it's Queenie Park.
I think it's Queen Elizabeth Park. It's the conservatory at the top there.
Yeah.
It's a great time of day. We got some cool looking structures. It's a great looking structure. Probably technically a geodesic dome. I'm throwing a lot of phrases out.
Big words. It's big words
that you don't know.
Yeah, geodesic.
All right. All right. I'll make it compatible with Adam. This is good, dude.
Yeah. Well, no, not a dude guy.
Okay. Definitely the right time of day with the nice blue sky and I'm assuming that's the sun kind of lighting up the dome itself. Like, that's got to be the sunset, right?
It looks to be that way behind. Yeah, yeah. Just because it's not even and it looks like there's a flare at the bottom.
Looks like a great, that to me is a great eye to notice that there's some really cool light happening at that exact moment and making sure to grab it. So good job, Frank.
All right. Panger for photo club president.
Yeah. Next up is Mark's Berry. It's gotta be, we decided it was Barry Marks, didn't we? I don't know.
Sure.
All right. Now I'm seeing a little bit of orange and blue in this. But
yeah, a very little.
Definitely gonna give extra points because this is actually his son Oliver, who's six, who shot this.
Okay.
So he's going to get a lot more points.
No excuse, Oliver.
Oh, okay. Well, please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah. No, okay. Good job.
No excuse. What's the problem? What's your problem with this? We have a nice balance between the reflection is well balanced in the frame, the trees.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's fine.
No, I wish it was more blue. I thought it's gray.
It is a little bit, but I mean,
he's six.
I think they're in the UK. So what do you want? Color?
Okay, yeah.
You've come to the wrong place. I'll tell you what we'll do is at some point in, call it in March, the monthly challenge will be the color red, and that's all you get in London. It's just red. It's like phone booths and double decker buses, and then everything else is gray.
Okay, so that's the photo challenge.
Maybe we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Oh, wait, so we have two. That was Oliver, Oliver yeah. Marks, and now we have one with Barry. So this is the one of okay, at Marks Kirsty. There we go. In a sheep field at Blue Hour. 50 mil, 150th off-camera flash at 164th power, and with a half CTO on it. Now we're getting into the range of what I like. I really like shooting with specifically the half CTO at Blue Hour. It gives you great results. Yeah, this is your results. Move.
This is someone who's listening to you.
Almost.
Or they invented it and you copied them.
Okay. Almost listening. Now what would be your one? Now, it's this really cool time, really great technique. What would you suggest is the rub here?
What's the rub?
What is it? What can make this better? Let me rephrase that in a much more positive manner. What would make this photo probably a little bit better?
Probably. And we're not talking about...
Subjectively, not objectively, subjectively.
Subjectively, like the angle isn't for me.
Well, I'm okay with that. The angle of her?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
It does say off-camera flash. Looks like on-camera flash.
Oh, too direct.
Very direct. I would go even further off axis. I would make this as if it is maybe the last little bit of sunset or a light coming from a pub, let's be honest. It's in the UK there. And something like that, like if that's throwing across her face and sees some more shadows. As it is, it's pretty flat, coming kind of almost straight on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be my only constructive criticism, was get it even further off. And maybe even a little bit darker, a little bit less light might make it look a little more subtle. Otherwise, you're dialed in. Like this is shaping up to be, you can shoot a lot of really great photos in this setting. Okay.
Says you.
It says me. Like I said, it's subjective. I understand. Yeah. Next up, J.C. Russo, in anticipation of the new movie, he's decided to have fun with a Star Wars-themed self-portrait. He needs to do more self-portrait compositions next year. Well, that's going to be the next photo challenge, by the way. And so here we go, orange and teal. Good use of the orange and the teal here.
This is ridiculously good.
Yeah. Okay, ridiculously good.
Yeah, it is. This is so good. I'm very impressed.
I would rather look at this picture than watch the new Star Wars movie. I tried to watch the one before this. I forget what it's called because I didn't see the one before the one that just came out.
The Last Jedi was the previous
one? Yeah, whatever that one. I made it a solid 15 minutes and then turned it off.
Wow, no.
And I've seen every other Star Wars movie I've seen in the theater.
Interesting. No, I liked The Last Jedi, so you're wrong.
Okay. All right.
I haven't seen the new one, though, so I can't speak to the new one.
I also forget who's who. I don't know who these people are.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people, yeah. A
lot of folks going on. But no, this is really well done, really crisp. This is a great use of the side lighting of the, because we have that sort of source light in the background, which looks to be bluish, and it looks like, and so therefore it's on the proper side, like it's lighting up his right side. And on the left side, we have that nice kind of, that's the orange light coming in, which kind of matches up with the red lightsaber. And we can see one eye perfectly. Like the whole photo is made. We have some little smoke effects in behind, but the whole image is made to me by where the nose and the eye are perfectly placed within that hood.
Yeah, and the light really adds to the shape of, you know, the hood to the shoulder, and then the opposite light to the gloves. Like everything here looks like it was done very intentionally and perfectly. Like in terms of if you were going to make a movie poster of this, I don't know how you make this better.
Well, 19-year-old Carrie Fisher.
Okay. All right. 19-year-old Carrie Fisher. But of this particular character, I could not do this better. In fact, I could do it much worse. So I don't feel like I can do this in any way better, because this is so good. So very impressed. Yeah. Good job, JC Russo.
All right. Next up, mine just crashed. I gotta load it up again. What do we got next here? The race car.
Yes.
So this is part of it at the Peterson. I was going to ask, is this at the Peterson, at the Peterson Museum where Biggie was shot? Just saying. Leaving the Peterson Museum. So
I didn't know that's where Biggie was shot. But yeah, now, shot. Now I
there.
Do.
Yeah, okay. There you go. All right. So I can't tell. I'm not sure which car this is, because she's not listing it, and we're seeing a very tight shot of it. The orange and the blue, the orange and the teal and the orange is the blue and orange is a very popular, very famous, called livery is the like the way you paint like the style in which you paint a car, and so it's called the Gulf livery, very famous. I've seen a number of cars from that. With that paint job at the races I get to go to. I don't think this is that. The blue looks too dark. It's a much lighter blue that they typically paint it. So I don't know which car this is, but it's definitely an interesting angle to shoot. I find going to these museums, the most recent one I've been to was probably a year ago, went to the Porsche Museum, and it's great. You bring your camera, you want to get some cool photos. It's hard to do. It's hard to get a cool photo of a car. In fact, it's even harder to get cool video of cars, which is kind of what I'm usually hired to do at those events. I have to go out and shoot these stationary cars and add motion to it and make it look cool so they can cut it into those movies that they're making. And that's really hard to do. And so I do very much appreciate how difficult this is to do something cool. Great use of the foreground, middle ground, and have the depth of field, and the colors really pop.
Agreed.
All right, and that was Doofus Photography. All right, next up, Stephen Flo Rosenstengel. I'm not sure what Yob is.
I don't know either.
That's probably a band name that I should know. I should be cooler than this. Yeah, probably something Seattle-y.
Yob.
Yeah. But again, great use. I mean, they did the lighting, but that's a great use of the blue and the orange. You can see why they do use it. I mean, it's a very cool combination.
Yep, agreed. It looks cool. Concert pick.
So is Yob Soundgarden? Is that who this is?
No, I don't think so.
Is that what that means?
No.
Alice in Chains?
No.
Okay. Still pretty cool, and I can guarantee you should probably follow Stephen Flo. He has some cool stories about the grunge scene in Seattle. He was there playing in a band. Opened for Eddie Vedder.
Wow, I think you mentioned that. Yeah.
Am I supposed to say that on the air? I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay,
I think you've mentioned it before. So
next up, Dave J. Crystal. And there you go. He was one of the first ones to post because he posted this one as. What was it for? What was our last month's portrait, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was actually, he shot this as a portrait, except he made a self-portrait, which is going to be next month.
Oh, he used it again.
Yeah, but he blew and orange gelled it before we even announced that this month would be blue and orange. So he definitely wins. He wins for knowing he was skating to where the puck's going to be.
Right. That's so important. Yeah.
So he submitted this late. This was actually submission last month, but late, and thus bleeds over. And he automatically wins for knowing ahead of time what was going on here.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts on this one?
I like it. This is kind of, it's a fun way to use the blue and orange. It's a different way to do a portrait, and it definitely gets you to look at it a little bit longer because it's interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is an extreme example of the blue and the orange, like probably a full CTO and a full CTB on each light, which your eye definitely notices right away. This looks like something artistic instead of trying to mimic life. Mm-hmm. And just now, I'm just now noticing that he sort of looks like a young Dennis Hopper.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah,
like
sure.
He blows up the elevator in Speed, but younger version. Like that, he was old in that, but even younger than that. Like this could be put the long hair on him. I think we got Easy Rider.
Okay.
Hey, have you seen old like old pictures of Dennis? Dennis Hopper was in Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, and lastly, we have. Did David R. Wilkinson already submit? He did, didn't he?
I don't know.
Well, I have to go through because this was actually.
No, I don't think so.
No. Nope. Wait. Oh, it crashed again. What's going on here, Adam?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that this is a legit submission.
No, well, no, it was from last month, but it was late, and I just thought, oh, it actually works out because it follows along with the rules. So I included it. I said, okay.
It was a portrait, but it is orange and blue.
It was a portrait, but it is orange and blue. Correct.
Okay.
And so this is Ilona with batik painting. So there you go. What are your thoughts on this one?
It's just a pretty simple portrait that is nice. It's appealing. I like where they've put the painting. It sort of makes it as an interesting background. If you offset this a little bit more, it might not be as interesting. So like she kind of blends into the painting, which is kind of abstract, but I like it. I almost wish the painting was a little bit larger to more or less be the whole background, or maybe if she's a little closer to it.
Or we crop in a little tighter, but then we lose out the sort of bluish on the walls.
Yeah, that's true too. But there is enough blue in the painting that it would be okay. But I like it. It's interesting, and it definitely is. There's the way that it's been positioned and set up adds something to it. Yeah.
And well done, great smile. Always nice to capture a great smile.
Absolutely.
All right. So now I have to go dig up ours. Here we go. Okay. Let's have a look at ours. As always, I'll leave you a choice to go first or second.
I'll go first.
All right, so have a look at yours. What is going on here?
Jack got the new Oilers alternate jersey for Christmas from his aunt.
Which is blue and orange.
Which is blue and orange. Like, there's no white, like, you know, some of the previous Oilers jerseys. I think NHL teams have done this, have gone. And the Canucks came up with a new jersey this year as well as an alternate that's just green and blue. So often the jerseys, you get some white striping to break it up, which I generally like. And I don't particularly like the Canucks jersey, the new.
There's no way that you can have blue and green without breaking it up. You can't do it.
I know, it's weird. It's weird that it's not broken up. But in the case of the Oilers alternate jersey, the orange and the blue, I really liked it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to use that. And then I'm going to shoot a portrait and sort of along the lines of one of those last submissions that the listener had. This is just a less extreme version. I use the orange light as the key light, and it's in a softbox directly overhead, just in front of the subject. So my wife's holding a gridded softbox, and it's basically feathered just in front of him because I want a really kind of dark, ominous lighting. I wanted his eyes to kind of go to the black raccoon kind of shape. And then I back lit with the blue light with it, which is gelled to give a little separation from the black background, but also to catch his shoulder and his side of his face and whatnot. And then I think I did 5 shots. This was the first or the second. I got really down low. This is shot with the 17-40 on the 6D, and I'm think I'm like 40 mils or 30 mils, something in that range.
You're 40. I checked.
Okay. Actually. And I'm down low shooting up because I really wanted it to, you know, him to look imposing. So this was a pre-visualized photo, and it came out pretty much as I had anticipated, which was I was happy with on the first few tries. The angle is very important. As I took a couple where I'm a bit more level, even though the lighting is still the same, he looks much less imposing shot at level versus shooting up like this. I'm not sure why, but I like the angle and just something totally different. Not the way I would normally shoot a portrait, but in this case, I liked it.
Well, after we posted this, I already posted this. We were informed we're being sued by Gordon Willis.
Okay.
So thanks a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll let the listeners tell you what that means. I bet you somebody knows what I'm talking about.
What do you think about the photo?
Here's where we diverge subjectively.
Okay.
I want to see his eyes. I don't see any reason to see his eyes. I don't. Well, they're fine. I mean, it's like I say. I said it was subjective.
Okay.
So it's what you're trying to do. Had you done it, and then accidentally given him the black eyes like you did, then that would be different. But you chose to do it, and that's I'm not going to say right or wrong. I just say my own personal thing was, you know, like maybe see his eyes. Other than that, great use of blue and orange. I mean, you got the blue and orange jersey, and then complementing it with the blue and the orange light. What did you already tell me which? Would get CTO and a CTB, or just a CTB only?
No, I had. There's, I think it's a half and a half.
Right. So in theory, if this is your only light, like you're not mixing any ambient light, because that's all you're doing is two lights that you're controlling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, now I do this all the time, so I'm not suggesting that you should do it differently. In theory, if you're listening and you only have, let's say, you only have a full CTB, you could throw that on the rear light and then adjust the color balance, the white balance, to make the exact same effect,
right?
Or roughly the same effect, because if you have a half CTO and a half CTB is a full shift difference. So you could do one and not the other, but I do the exact same thing. I tend to go half and half as well.
Okay.
All right. So next up, I had a couple choices to make. I shot a number of photos, and so first off, I went and took my son out at the Blue Hour, Mark's Berry there, and I shot a very subtle example. This was going to be my challenge photo. This is my son with the toucan looking off in the distance, as he likes to do. And balanced it for I believe I balanced the X100 for tungsten, which made a very, very blue sky, very blue sort of light all around, which was the existing light was blue, and then added just a hint of flash, or maybe not a hint, but not quite full flash, in an umbrella, camera right, with this one was actually a full CTO, but because it's not really at full power, it doesn't go overpowering orange, but you can see in his skin tones are a little bit warm compared with the rest of it.
Right.
Not my challenge photo.
Okay.
I actually like this. I like a lot of what's going on. I like the that's not even snow. That's frost on the ground. That's still left in certain areas. And I like the composition of it. I would have liked to have taken this about 15 minutes later, when the sky was popping a little bit better. Like, it was very, very clear. And as you'll see in Mark's Berry photo, he has clouds in his, and it's a little bit darker, and it makes for a nice dramatic sky. This was kind of a boring sky, even though it was kind of that blue hour. So I like this one, but then the next night, my kids had sparklers left over from New Year's, and they wanted to go outside and shoot with them, and I thought, you know what? That's how I'm going to get my blue and orange. It was right at Blue Hour, and the sparklers register very, very orange with the light, and so I went and shot those.
Okay.
And so here's the one of my son. You talk now.
I've seen this photo. You've done this before, so I've
never done this exact photo. Never done something similar on New Year's Eve, but not quite this. Yeah.
But what do you mean not quite this?
There is no, aside from the sparkler, there's no other light in this photo.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure lighting this. There's no blue.
I'm sure there's even been photos you've used on the podcast that are similar to this. And that's not a discredit to the photo. The photo is good. But I want to say multiple photos. This is definitely something I would say, oh yeah, there's Al's, one of Al's moves is the sparkler at Blue Hour, where the sparkler is the key light.
Right. No. So I haven't done this. I've done something similar, where like on New Year's Eve, where I'll put a light out on the street with a CTB on it and kind of backlight them. But okay. I've never actually done this out like at Blue Hour and just had the only light, existing light besides the falling sunlight, be the sparkler.
Okay.
So you're right. It's very similar, but not quite. the same. So I get where you're at with that.
Yeah, and I think more I'm familiar with your kids and sparklers. I feel like there's a lot of sparkler photos in your albums.
They love those Wunderkerzen, wonder candles. That's what they're called here, wonder candles.
Okay.
So my two issues. There's two issues I have with this image.
Okay.
First of all, the focus is slightly off.
Okay.
You can see the front of his zipper looks like it's bang on. I had focused on his eyes. This was a manual focus shot on a tripod, but very, very narrow depth of field. It was 85mm lens, my cinema lens actually, wide open at a T 1.5, and so very, very narrow depth of field. And so he was dialed in, but he must have shifted a little bit. And the placement of the sparkler, having it out of frame like that, I don't like very much. I would like to see more of the sparkler. And as you can see with my daughter's photo, which I posted one as well, it was called Sparkler.
Mm-hmm.
There we have a much better placement of the sparkler, but it is freaking her out and she's making a weird face.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the overall image better, but her face is just what are you doing? That's not helping me. And so the look on my son's face, and looking at that, like just something really, really weird and funny and quirky about the look on his face. So in my head, that trumped the imperfections of the focus and the sparkler being in the image.
It's terrific. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah, okay. It's really good. It's really, really good.
Yeah. We can stop the show now.
Okay. Yay. Hooray. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Is this better than last week's?
Better than last week's show?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The show. Yeah,
oh,
no, way better.
So is getting kicked in the nuts.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I need that feedback.
Of course. Yeah. No, we'll definitely get that feedback this month. All right. Challenge for next month. We already announced it last month. It is self-portrait. And with that, because there was a whole reason behind that. We can talk about it maybe next week because we're way out of time and Adam's internet keeps going down. So self-portrait, but it should be where we learn something about you in that image. That's probably going to be difficult for Adam and I, since we sort of talk about most things on the show, and you kind of, listeners kind of know a lot about us already. The one thing Adam doesn't talk about, though, is his love of hardcore, barely legal pornography. You know, the kind of stuff that you can't send through the mail. And I'm Neil Diamond.
So
Wait. Do you know that reference? Do you recognize that the joke there?
Is it from Saturday Night Live? It's something with Will Ferrell.
Yes, Will Ferrell's playing Neil Diamond, a version of Neil Diamond with John Goodman in the band.
Yeah.
And that was one of the lines, and it's hysterical. So I don't want to imply that Adam actually gets stuff you can't get through the mail.
Right.
That's only a joke.
Yeah.
Feel bad now.
Okay.
Point being, I will try to think of something that you could learn about me and include that in the self-portrait subtly. I'm going to try to do mine subtly, and I think the definition of subtle means the night before. That's when I'll do mine. I'll try to think of adding something very subtle in the background or the foreground or somewhere in the frame that you can learn something new about me. That will be difficult, as I said, but I'll do my best. And that's what you should do as the listener. Don't give away too much, obviously, but hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, make sure you tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll discuss that at the end of the month, beginning of February. Challenge for next week, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I have available light written down here, and if you can do better than that, we'll do that.
I have available right. I mean light written down here.
Available right.
Oh, I crossed out the R and put an L. It's available light.
Okay. Let's do that. Available light is the challenge for next week. And meanwhile, websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And once again, thanks to everybody who took the time to take their photos and submit them for the monthly challenge. Look forward to seeing you guys next month. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.